Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing what the top 10 Christian news stories of 2025 are. Now, this is something I do every year, usually doing on the year-end live stream, but we're going to do it as a separate video this time, just because. A lot of big topics to discuss, but first, I want to let you know, Evangelical Dark Web, we're a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry, and so we're doing a top 10, similar to how other news websites have done a top 10 of the same thing. I read Christian Post's top 10, and it's not a good top 10. We're going to do a much better top 10, and you can support our work over a Patreon-like system that's linked in the description below. Gives you access to bonus content. Also, the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you are new. We also have a free newsletter that gives you Christian news in your inbox each and every day. So without further ado, let's get into the top 10. Number 10, the unexpected death of Vody Bachum. So Vody Bachum's death caught the whole internet by surprise, and for good reason, because, you know, he died a little young. And he was this is the end of a very valuable soldier in Christ's army. Bachum was set to lead an upstart seminary in 2026 and would be more of an impact in the United States. However, this was not to be, and the leadership crisis in the American church widened. So that's number 10 on our list of top 10 stories. Number 9, J.D. Greer's villainy exposed. The biggest Southern Baptist story, again, Southern Baptist Convention, largest convention, largest denomination that's Protestant in the United States. This was a story reminiscent of Ahab trying to take the vineyard from his neighbor, and whereby J.D. Greer conspired with the corrupt elders of Faith Baptist Church in Knightdale, North Carolina, to run the church into bankruptcy in order that they may acquire $10 million, $20 million, who knows, it was a huge amount of assets for pennies on the dollar in some sort of bankruptcy or merger and acquisition of a nonprofit organization, so that Summit Church may acquire a new franchise location in Knightdale, North Carolina. This story revealed the petty villainy of J.D. Greer, the three-time Southern Baptist president, who is a liberal, who, you know, promoted female pastors, promoted homosexuality, and that Christians should defend gay rights. So super woke pastor J.D. Greer is also evil in his own backyard in real life. And he gave up the fight so as not to be deposed in court. So he was about to have a deposition, and he quit the night before, and they threw in the towel. And praise God for the faithful men and women who fought to save their church, FBC Knightdale, North Carolina. They're also my Church of the Year nomination as well. Number 8, the bro revival shines in the podcast space, and there's growing discontentment. So 2025 began with multiple Joe Rogan interviews, Wes Huff and Mel Gibson, to just be specific, among others, that shared the gospel. Increasingly, revival appears to be statistically documented. And more recently on those lines, I've seen that the stats and stuff like that, the data seems to indicate that it's happening in evangelicalism, white evangelicalism specifically. However, the bifurcation between young men and young women still appears to be widening, and Big Eva's response appears to be adopt rather than challenged feminist narratives. I did an article about this for Christian Post, where they were calling the church misogynistic as a reason for the bifurcation, and that seems to be the lesson that the church might learn, which would be a very unfortunate way to sabotage what God is doing or at least attempted to sabotage what God's doing, because the church did not ask for the bro revival, but nonetheless, God is providing it. Because the church has done everything in its power to dissuade young white men from the church, yet God is bringing them in anyway. So you love to see that. What Big Eva meant for wokeness and evil, God is still going to rescue people anyway. So the bro revival is even widespread enough to attract false converts. An example of this is Blair White. So that is our number seven story of the year. And number six is actually very related. I think this is very related. The Jewish influence in the church shaken. So with the bro revival and increased scrutiny on America's foreign policy relationship with Israel, it's clear that dispensationalism as a theology has fallen and it cannot get up. Like, I think it's terminal and it's only just a matter of years before it's gone. To make matters worse, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has openly admitted to targeting American evangelicals with influence operations because the Israelis are desperate to hold on to this demographic in the United States that is largely pro-Israel, but this is largely fading, and even with revival, these numbers are not reversing. American evangelical influence operations have been disclosed in some Pharaoh records. And those are just the records that they decided to disclose when they probably could have claimed under First Amendment grounds, like all the rest of the Israeli operations. They don't disclose it because, you know, First Amendment freedom of religion. So they don't disclose their operations in the church. But for some reason, one firm decided to do that. And we got to see a lot of details about geofencing operations and influencers and churches that they were specifically targeting, and conferences as well. So huge influence is being exposed, shaken. More Christians are finding out what's in the Talmud. And there's a battle between faithful Christians and neo-Judaizers that is intensifying. That struggle you're seeing where Christians are adopting like Jewish practices and trying to Christianize them or trying to merge what they think is the Old Testament Torah, that is going to go somewhere. That is going to heat up as dispensationalism becomes a little bit more precarious in its hold on American evangelicalism and the church at large. Number five, the persecution, number six, the persecution of Nigerian Christians. So the plight of Nigerian Christians is not a news story. This is not just like it started happening in 2025 and then here we are now. No, that's actually far from the case. This was a story that went from being obscure to being mainstream in the church in 2025. So good work over at Equipping the Persecuted. That's Judd Saul's ministry where they actually help Nigerian Christians. The climax of the story occurred on Christmas Day when President Trump announced that he had ordered military strikes on Islamic terrorists in Nigeria responsible for attacking Christians. So the Trump administration has been very helpful for Nigerian Christians when largely the whole world has abandoned them and much of the focus of the church in America has not been on Nigeria, which is perhaps misplaced. So number five, the global Anglican Church rejects Church of England primacy. This is some English or Anglican action going on. And this is a huge watershed moment for the Anglican Church, which is one of the largest Protestant faith traditions on earth. And the elevation of a woman to the Archbishop of Canterbury was a crossing the Rubicon moment for the Anglican Church. The Global Anglican Futures Conference, known as GAFCON, a coalition of faithful Anglicans, declared primacy, their primacy in Anglicanism, displacing the Church of England in its first among equals status. So they've asserted that they're now the prime diocese, or whatever the word is that they want to use in the Church of England or in Anglicanism, instead of the Church of England, which has historically held that position. This is a huge step in rescuing the Anglican tradition, and this is the Anglican tradition that has taken the gospel to the literal four corners of the globe. So Anglicanism is worth saving, and I want to see it be saved. I do love me some Book of Common Prayer, so definitely want that tradition to be saved. You can follow Other Paul. Shout out to him as a good resource on that story as well. Number four, open borders, profiteers versus the church. American evangelicals voted overwhelmingly for Donald Trump in 2024, but that would not stop major institutions like World Relief, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Immigrant and Refugee Services, or LIRES as I call them, and the Southern Baptist Convention, among others, and the Southern Baptist Convention, ERLC, Send Relief. They had a lot of it. Of their organizations that were very much invested in this operation, in their open borders profiteering operations that resettle migrants in the United States. The federal government was paying a lot of these NGOs to do that, and they want their cash cow to continue despite the fact that evangelicals voted overwhelmingly for mass deportations, which was the mandate of the Trump campaign, which, again, they voted 80%+ in favor of. Catholics also broke for Trump as well, so Catholic Charities betraying the Catholic bloc as well. So, huge story. This is, you know, and then they're even trying to run with the narrative that, oh, ICE is attacking churches, which I don't really care about because those are false churches that, you know, they are getting what's coming to them, even if that story is true, which it largely hasn't been. Number three, the death of John MacArthur. John MacArthur was a giant of the faith in evangelicalism. Perhaps he was the biggest figure alive. He was a pope to many. His death comes after a faithful life lived and leaves no successor to his legacy. Not that one is needed, but, you know, that is basically the end of an entire evangelical empire. In MacArthur world, like, they're going to fade into irrelevancy. But John MacArthur, huge larger than life figure, and I think he finished well, which you cannot say that about a whole lot of evangelical figures. Tim Keller, who's a false teacher anyway, but a lot of people have not finished well, and good on Tim, John MacArthur for finishing well. Number two, Pope Francis died in 2025 and was replaced by Pope Leo, the first ever American pope. Both are open borders communist. So the new pope is just like the old pope, but he is American. He loves our sports teams. He's a Chicago fan. I think it's the Cubs and not the White Sox. I can't remember. I know Obama's the White Sox. So maybe, you know, the Bears. New pope, same as the old pope, both open borders Marxist communist. So, yeah, your based traditional Catholic Church is having communist popes. So we don't really need to do slop apologetics accounts when it comes to Protestantism versus Catholicism, because the Catholics are doing it themselves with all their liberalism. Anyway, number one story, and you probably saw this coming, the murder of Charlie Kirk. The assassination of Charlie Kirk is probably the biggest story of 2025. And it's also a story of a Christian being martyred for his faith. His death left a huge hole in the American right wing, as Charlie Kirk was someone who was a unifier behind the scenes. His death led to all sorts of chaos, as Turning Point USA has become a battleground for the future of the right wing, even more than it was before. So, you know, in some respects, they created a lot of Charlie Kirks, but in other cases, he was pretty irreplaceable, and what has been left behind has been chaos. So you hate to see that. You do hate to see that. That was a huge loss. It was a tragic event, and that has shaken the entire country. And he died as a Christian believer. He died in large part for his views, Christian views. He died answering a question on transgenderism. So Charlie Kirk, also going to be my hero of the year, church hero of the year nominee. I think that's a pretty obvious nomination as well. So those are the top 10 stories of the year. Sometimes it's hard to squeeze stories in this was one of those years where it's hard to come up with 10, actually. So let me know what you think about my list. If I left anything else, that should have been in the top 10. But have a blessed day. Stay base, Crisis King, and we will catch you on the next one.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.